Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvik, Nick Kieser with you on this Thursday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. The NFL schedule will be released later this evening. We already know the Titans will play October 15th in London against the Baltimore Ravens, but that's all we know. I haven't looked for leaks. You know, sometimes I do that. I know the Green Bay Packers' entire schedule apparently is out.
Yeah, Robbie found that out at about 6
they're probably working on next year's schedule now to try and leak that, so I don't know. But we know some primetime games that, you know, the Chiefs and the Lions will kick off the season. That will be the Thursday night kickoff game. I think I saw Jets-Bills on Monday Night Football, Rodgers' debut with the Jets. Vegas and Chiefs on Christmas, which will be cool. Is that a Nickelodeon game?
Yes, that's a Nickelodeon game. They also have New Year's Eve Bengals Chiefs, which will be.
Are they just giving
one.
The Chiefs all the big?
Yes, they are, because Patrick Mahomes is their quarterback. So yes.
So my thoughts on the Titans are I'm asking the question to all of you, how many games do you think they're going to be on primetime? Now, I have said that I think a late-season game at Jacksonville will be a Monday night game. I'm going to hold that prediction. I'm going to hold on to that. But I don't think there's going to be much more. And the fact that, like, if every team usually gets a Thursday night game, which I guess they've changed that where it doesn't necessarily have to be the case, that might be their only one.
Yeah, because this year – not all teams need to have a Thursday game, like you said, Chase. It's slim pickings. And, you know, now the ability to flex games, right? We saw a lot of that happen last year. I mean, would I be surprised even if maybe they were on a Thursday night one and it got flexed or something like that?
Well, I don't think the Thursday night flex is in yet.
I'm sorry.
It's just Mondays and Sundays.
Monday. Like, if they were in that,
yeah.
And then there was and Sunday was supposed to be a matchup between – you know, Patrick Mahomes and I don't even know, maybe the Chargers or something like that. And they're like, oh, we need that to be the Monday night game. I mean, they're going to do things like that. Would I be surprised if they got bumped out of a spot? But I don't actually think they're going to get a lot of primetime games to begin with.
So primetime games that have been announced so far by the NFL. I mentioned Lions at the Chiefs week one. That's a Thursday night on NBC. Monday Night Football, ESPN, Bills, Jets in week one. Week 5, Sunday Night Football, Cowboys, 49ers. The Black Friday game on Prime, Dolphins, Jets, which is going to be a 2 o'clock Central kickoff on Black Friday.
Hmm.
But that'll be interesting. Let's see, December 3rd on Fox. I guess that's just a Sunday game. Yeah, 3:25, 49ers, Eagles. CBS Nickelodeon will have on Christmas night or Christmas Day. They'll have Raiders Chiefs, and then Christmas afternoon on Fox, which is a Monday, Giants Eagles. And then I'm sure there'll be a Monday night game on ESPN that we don't know yet. And then you mentioned New Year's Eve on CBS, 3:25 kickoff, Bengals Chiefs at Arrowhead.
Not Burrowhead.
I don't think we can call it that.
I don't think we can either. I was just trying to get some Chiefs fans fired.
Yeah, but you know, trying to predict the Titans schedule is interesting.
Well, it goes back to the conversation of, you know, what is this team? How do people on the national level who are making these decisions view this team? They see that they drafted a quarterback in Will Levis, but he was a guy who dropped out of the first round. There is still some appeal there, but they still have a guy like Ryan Tannehill on the team. Yeah, they got Derrick Henry, but they really don't know what this team is going to look like. And after a disappointing end to the season last year, from the national perspective and scheduling these games, I mean, you look at this team and it's not that attractive.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to get ratings, get viewers, and I understand that it's the NFL and it will either way, but Patrick Mahomes is going to get more than probably this team and remember the Broncos and the Colts, I felt like, had so many primetime games last year. And we were like, oh, gosh, what is happening? Right? So it's a tricky situation, but I honestly don't see them getting a lot of games anyways. I think if the Ravens game actually was here, I thought that that could have been one that could have been a primetime game.
Yeah. And what's funny is I heard a lot of people complaining about, like, oh, they're losing a home game and it's going to London and stuff. Well, they had the extra home game, so you're still going to have eight. Still have eight home games. So
yeah, I just think it stinks that the Ravens one is the one over there. I mean, think about it. That would have been a great game here.
Well, you weren't going to do – you. It would have been, but you weren't going to do Chargers again because they already did that. I mean, Seattle, Atlanta.
Atlanta
would have been cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, like, looking at just the home games, all right, so take Baltimore out of it. If you're going to do a primetime game, Bengals could be. I mean, just because you're putting the Bengals on primetime.
Yeah.
Texans, no. Chargers, no. Seahawks, no. Colts, no. Carolina, no. Jacksonville, yeah, maybe.
Potentially, yeah.
Atlanta, no. And then road games, Tampa, no. Miami, no. Houston, no. Saints, no. Steelers could be like a Thursday night, maybe.
Maybe.
Cleveland, same thing, maybe. And then Colts, no. And then Jags, maybe.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of intriguing matchups.
No, and I mean, if you look at the quarterback play too, which is, I mean, usually equals a successful team, right? You don't have, other than Justin Herbert and Tua with the Dolphins, you don't have really many flashy guys out there, which helps you get the primetime games. You mentioned the Bengals. I think that has an opportunity to be one, and the Jags.
Yeah, but you know what's a dangerous game to play? Now, a lot of this is where I think the schedule is important, because where do these games fall? Like, to me, you know, you always want to catch a team early in the season because, you know, now you're in the same boat, but they don't know exactly what they are yet. Bengals, any time is going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
But like Houston and Indy, for instance, I want them early because if they're starting rookies, then you're having welcome to the NFL moments.
Mm-hmm.
If in Carolina too, you know, with Bryce Young. So looking at this schedule, I mean, Bengals, I would put Baltimore and Cincinnati in the I don't give them much of a chance to win those games category right now, as we sit today. But Houston, winnable. Chargers, probably not, but never know. Seattle, coin toss.
Mm-hmm.
Indy, they could win that.
Yep.
Carolina, they could win that.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville, I'm going to say likely not, but I guess still could be a coin toss.
Or split them.
Atlanta could win that.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa could win that.
Yep.
Miami depends on Tua. Saints.
Yep.
What's Derek Carr? Pittsburgh. What's Kenny Pickett?
Uh-oh.
Hi, Junie.
I said, Junie's running up here.
Cleveland. Who the hell knows? So, I mean, the schedule is very much, depending on where some of these games fall, I think the schedule is like you look at it and you go, if the defense can be what we hope and think the defense can be, and then you got Tannehill, Henry,
yeah,
the offensive line is better, then
I mean, I look at you just
you
reading,
never know.
You reading them all off and me kind of thinking of, okay, where the teams are right now after the draft, after some free agency. I mean, I think I can confidently say, and oh gosh, this could come back to haunt me, this team will easily be a 500 team.
Ooh, you're going to say easily?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm saying it a little hesitantly, but I mean, in your division alone, you have two teams starting rookie quarterbacks. I know the Colts might start with Gardner Minshew, but I have a feeling Anthony Richardson will be starting for at least
they
one
should,
of the
They
games.
Should start with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. How much will Jim Irsay try to push Richardson out there? Who knows? But I have a feeling at least one time when you face the Colts, Anthony Richardson will be the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you read off the list of teams right there, it's not like they're going through a gauntlet of...
I mean, can we agree that Cincinnati is probably the best one on this list?
Yeah.
And then maybe Baltimore?
Yeah, I would say either Baltimore or Miami.
Yeah. Eh. I don't know. I don't know about Miami. I've kind of lost my...
I think it was so hard because Tua's injuries, and you're just so hesitant to think that he can be out there every single week this year. But, I mean, when you look at the roster, the wide receiver play, they just got Ramsey from L.A. He was another huge addition. But they're also playing in a really hard division now with Rodgers coming to them, to their division. So I look at that. I think that, the Bengals are the best team, I'd say, that they face all year. They have the best quarterback, at least. You're not playing the Chiefs this year. You're not playing the Bills this year. You got the Chargers with Justin Herbert. What is he going to look like with, you know, a new offensive coordinator, another year in the league? Trevor Lawrence is up there, but you're playing the Steelers, who are always a solid team. I mean, Cleveland, question mark. Even the Ravens, question mark, with Lamar's health.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. What do you think about the Titans' schedule? And I heard a conversation of Robbie and Rex Road this morning that I wanted to give my thoughts on when it comes to Titans quarterback Will Levis. We'll discuss that coming up next. Plus, your chance to win Beach Boys tickets, as they will be here in a few weeks. We'll give you that opportunity coming up here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
In retrospect on Levis, who obviously is of high interest here, you know, how do you view all of that stuff? What have you gathered on that? And, you know, I guess, what do you think about, you know, where he is moving forward here?
I mean, if it was meant to drop him, someone would have taken him. Like, you know, everybody, you know, he got passed by everybody, and there were opportunities at the end of the first round to, you know, for teams to move up and take him. So, you know, I think there's something there from the standpoint of, you know, there's a reason why the draft, you know, slide occurred. I don't think it was just this idea of, well, the left toe and his last year at Kentucky, you know, after, you know, losing the offensive coordinator and then some of the talent around him, you know, either having a drain or injuries or, you know, a multitude, you know, his age, a few different things. I you talk to enough teams that I don't think it's impossible to see where they're coming from when you also match it up against some of the public comments you've seen Will Levis make, you know, things about when he talked to, look, I don't want to kill him just on based on a couple of clips that obviously a lot of people have seen, the whole, you know, do you want to attend the draft, and him saying, like, you know, if I'm paraphrasing here, but the whole idea, like, if I know I'm going to get picked, but you don't want to be one of those guys that, you know, slides and then has a camera on you the whole day. And
that was Charles Robinson earlier this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Must listen to radio. You can hear him. I know he was earlier today, but usually he's on Thursdays at 8 o'clock on Robbie and Rex Road. So always enjoy those conversations. But I heard kind of what followed, and I know this was kind of a through-the-show topic today, Michelle, but you know, with Will Levis, and we all go back to the coffee and the mayo and the eating the banana with the peel and, you know, the TikToks and shirtless photos and all those things. And I'm in my car and I'm like, isn't that the definition of showing a little personality? Isn't that a good thing?
I have such a problem with the comments. I mean, if you look at some of the videos, the Tennessee Titans Instagram or social media page, they've put up, whether it be a picture of him, whether it be a video of him at Topgolf in Nashville. I mean, the hatred and the comments on the bad character and just taking one thing and assuming that he's just has a character flaw.
Yeah,
absolutely is dumbfounding to me. And even the video that Charles brought up, I mean, what's bad about him saying that? Yeah. What is bad about somebody asking, hey, you know, asking about the draft and him saying, yeah, I mean, I'll go if I believe that I'm going to be a first round pick, but, you know, it's kind of awkward. I mean, who actually wants to do that? If we're all being real, who actually wants to sit there in a room on national television and be embarrassed? And let's also not forget, when he talked to the media after he got drafted by Tennessee, he specifically said he couldn't stay the second night because he was having family in town to have a party that weekend. So he had to fly home Thursday or Friday morning to host his family. Like,
yeah, and I mean, he wasn't going to win that one. He wasn't going to win that battle. I mean, that's just the unfortunate part of it. I mean, you were predicted to be a first-round pick. You weren't. and you left for whatever the reason. I mean, he could have had any reason in the world. He wasn't going to win that. That's just part of it.
Malik Willis went to the draft the first night.
He did, and
he didn't go the second night.
And he didn't win. Yeah, I mean, he got beat up for it. So, I mean, it's just that's a
did
part
he
of it. Yeah, maybe not to that level, but he did. I mean, I'm not the one doing it. I'm just saying, like,
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is what it is. But my whole thing is, I think too many times we have, you know, curmudgeons that get up there and they're just like, yeah, we lost, or yeah, we won, and it's like they have no personality. I want personality, especially at the quarterback position. I mean, Tannehill doesn't really say anything. Tannehill's a really nice guy, mm-hmm. And that's fine. But, like, if this kid's got some personality, then show it, and don't criticize him for showing it. I mean, we got to deal with a head coach on a daily basis that, you know, just is like his personality is he's comes across as a jerk sometimes.
Well, and that's the thing, too.
But it's entertained. Like, there are things that Vrabel says that entertain the crap out of me when I'm – and then there are times where I'm like, Mike, just answer the damn question.
Yeah, I mean, I think this happens so much that you see it in college a lot of, you know, fresh – from your freshman year, if you're a four-year starter in college, you are speaking to the media after every game at, you know, every open practice. And so often things just get spun out of turn or they're put on social media and people – crucify somebody for doing something or showing a little personality, and then that's when people don't anymore, and that's when they answer, you know, for what it is, short answers, don't like talking to the media. Because, and I'm not saying it's the media, like I'm a part of the media, it can be, but it's more so, you know, people just choosing to look at some things and not the others, right? I mean, he's a 23-year-old kid. I mean, social media is everything. I mean, I'm only 25, so I can't act like I'm some, you know, you're
sure.
A kid. We're about the same age. But, I mean, people are obsessed with social media. I mean, Joe was talking today. He's like, I have kids in high school and college right now. People take selfies and post stuff literally all the time.
Right. And like, that is – so I'm glad you brought that up. Because, like, for you at 25, that is a normal thing. You know, I did it a little bit, but now I've kind of outgrown it. You
yeah.
know, so to speak. But, I mean, I'll take a selfie every now and then.
I mean,
you know?
People have their phones. They're taking pictures of themselves.
Sure. But I do think that the shirtless selfies, there are some of these, again, old curmudgeons in the NFL that probably had a problem with it.
I just don't understand why it matters.
I don't have an explanation for that. I'm just telling you what I think. I mean, look, and I'm not calling him this, but the late, great Floyd Reese, I think, would have had something to say about it. I just because that's old school. It's just the old school thought, and there's nothing wrong with the old school. There's nothing wrong with the new school. They just sometimes have different ways of thinking.
But I just don't understand how doing that then all of a sudden equals to he's going to be a bad quarterback in the NFL.
Well, no. But how they may look at it is he's spending too much time taking pictures of himself and on TikTok than he is in the playbook. Whether that's true or not.
It's just such a leap.
That's what it is. I'm trying to play devil's advocate. That's why they think that. Again, I don't care. Go out there and throw touchdowns. If you do that, I don't care what the hell you do. That's my take. Nate on our text line, DurbanBillWilsonCountyHoundy.com, says, yes, fans want personality, but when it's not the personality they want, they go crazy. That is 100% true. There are people that will sit there and go, I want him to show personality, but then if it's not like yours or it's weird, it's like, oh, no, don't do that.
Yeah, and somebody on our text line, they didn't put their name in, but they said, didn't half the Giants team take shirtless selfies on the yacht this year? I don't know if you remember that photo. It was like mm-hmm. the whole team. That's more of my point is why do we hold different people to different standards? Why is it such an awful thing
yeah.
if he does it, but then if somebody else does, it's like, oh my God, yeah, like he's killing it in the gym with those workouts, like he's getting ready this off season. right? Like, we just choose to have certain narratives about certain people.
Yeah.
And if it fits it, then woohoo, yay. But if it's, I'll just use Derrick Henry, for example. If he has his shirt off and he's doing an intense workout that he posts.
Oh, we love that.
We love that. Derrick is working out.
Because it's like he's a brick, you know what?
Yeah. So it's.
Yeah. I mean.
Brick house.
Yeah. A brick house.
How do people. I just think it all comes down to, you know. If you want to believe one thing, you can do everything you want to believe.
Texter says, you don't see Burrow and Mahomes all over social media. No, but I see Joe Burrow front row of a UFC fight. You know, like, I mean, what tell me what the difference is.
You see Rodgers all over social media.
See Rodgers all over Pat McAfee or at a game or whatever. I mean, like, so it's okay to, like, they can do that. Because guess what? When they're sitting in a UFC, when Joe Burrow's sitting in a UFC fight, he's not thinking about the Bengals. He's not thinking about football.
Yeah.
He's there having a good time. So you're telling me that it's okay for him to do that, but if Will Levis wants to make a TikTok video, that's not cool.
Yeah, it comes back to the reason people have a problem with Taylor Lewan here.
Right. Like, here's the thing. I am not Mr. Social Media. I get more irritated at social media than I do having a good time. Like, I mean, I'm just at that point in my life where Twitter pisses me off because half the people out there are keyboard warriors and they would never say that to your face because you know that I would punch you in the face if you said some of the stuff that you say to me on Twitter. So I just choose not to be on it as much. But there was a time where, I mean, I was doing Snapchats and Instagram and, you know, things like that. And who cares? Who the hell cares? Is the bottom line of it you just don't understand it and know how to use it, so you're going to bitch and moan about it? Is that what it is?
I mean, if it doesn't affect the way you do your job and the way you show up every day, why does it matter? A texter texts in and says, Will Levis's girlfriend is some sort of TikTok personality. That's why he posted those videos. I don't think he has anything to do with them. It's just who he's dating. I will say, his girlfriend I follow her on TikTok, and she does really funny videos. But, I mean, he posts them too. But I also think something that is a whole nother level of this is – this generation of college players coming up, they are making a lot of money in NIL deals. And a lot of those NIL deals require them to post on social media to promote these products because they are public figures. So we are going to be seeing a lot more of this. Players have to, you know, when they sign some of these NIL deals, a lot of the deal is not only them, you know, being successful at an Ohio State or an Alabama, but it's posting on social media because you are getting paid and NIL is becoming a huge thing. So I hate to break it to people, but it's not going away.
A lot of you want to weigh in on this. 615-737-1025. And yes, I am fired up. What do you think about Will Levis and his personality? You have a problem with it? Social media, it's all on the table. 615-737-1025. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvit, reporter Nick Keyser. A lot of you weighing in on the text. The text line is popping. See?
It's hot. It's
See?
Hot.
See, I can do the hip language. You know, it's popping right now. I just aged myself. 737-1025. Thank you. I was like, please respond.
Oh, sorry.
Please say something.
I'm like reading a text at the same time about our topic, and you're like, it's pop. No, I heard it. I'm cool with that term.
Okay. Let's see. Chris and Dixon. As long as Levis doesn't polarize the locker room, he wins games and is a leader. I could care less what he does in his own time. That's Chris and Dixon. I'm 100% with you. Now, look, if he's out here doing TikTok and taking selfies and then he's throwing four picks a game, then yeah, we got a problem, okay? I get it. You know, we need to sit down and go put the phone down and get in the playbook.
Yes, exactly, Chase. And I think that's more of my problem is that it's already been ruled as if this is such an issue, this is such a problem, when he's just starting rookie minicamp. He hasn't even taken a snap in the NFL yet. He just got to Nashville a couple days ago. I mean, it's not apples to apples, right? It's not because you post on social media, that means you're a bad leader and you're a bad representation. I mean, the facts, what I know is that when he came to Kentucky from Penn State and lost that starting job up there, he wasn't the starter. And after a week of him being in that building, The players wanted him to start and wanted him to be their captain. Yeah. So, you know, however people choose to perceive him, or if you don't like him on social media, at the end of the day, it only matters if the people in your locker room and your coach believe that you can be a good leader out there.
Yeah. Now, the fans have to support you because the fans ultimately are coming to the game.
And if you win football games, they're going to support
you. If you win football games, they will. Now, as we were discussing, like, look, I agree. I am like show personality. Now, if it gets in the way and starts causing issues, then you got to stop. Now, I'll give you a prime example. A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is Mr. Social Media. He is very active on social media. There were times, though, when I got on here and I said, A.J., put the phone down. Like, stop tweeting. Because there's some people that, whether they don't think before they tweet, or they get drunk late at night and get on Twitter, they got to stop. And you're only going to do yourself harm when you do that.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, A.J. and I are around the same age, and I think, you know, I try to think of if I was in his situation sometimes, right? You're 25 years old. You had a Snapchat probably in middle school. You had a Twitter probably in middle school. And you're 12 or 13 at the time, and this has been all you know. And you can just put stuff out there, and it's fun and it's light. And then now that you have this huge platform and you play in the NFL and I have a huge following – you can't do that. And I think sometimes too, you probably see stuff on there and you're like, that is not true. I didn't say that, or I didn't mean that. And it becomes, well, I have to say something. I have to put something out there, when sometimes it's better just to put it away. Like, I feel like I would definitely get so frustrated if something was put out there and I'm like, that's not real. Like, it's not real. Or, you know, like you're a public figure, but it's the role you take on,
sure,
when you realize that's what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, like, there was times with AJ, I'm just like, dude, you're not doing yourself any favors. Just stop. Just like, I get it. Or he wouldn't do himself any favors because he would delete the tweet and we would all have screenshotted it by then.
That's the thing. Even if it's up there for a second, somebody's seeing it.
Mason on our text line, driven by WilsonKennyHoney.com. I like this because I think this puts – it kind of puts it in perspective from the other point of view. The quarterback is the CEO. If they are great, they make $50 million a year, different than a wide receiver or running back. I don't care, but some people don't want to see their CEO posting shirtless photos. They don't want to see their CEO on Instagram shirtless, eating a banana with a peel still on it, or putting mayo in their coffee for views and attention. I think that sums up what we're talking about of – the people that do have a problem with that, it's all about an image thing. You know, I'll bring up an example that I remember, and if he's listening, he may remember this. So there was when Jake Locker was the quarterback of the Titans, I will never forget sitting behind the glass, and Darren McFarland was, I mean, he was intense about it, that Jake had walked into a post-game press conference wearing, like, deer, he was going out deer hunting. Like, he had his camo hat on and like a t-shirt, and I mean, he looked like he was about to go hunting. And the Titans weren't very good. They weren't winning games. And it was kind of like, this is the quarterback of your team. This is the face of your franchise. And I don't remember. I think he said something to the effect of, like, I don't care if he comes out in a suit, but it's like, dress the part. And that's always stood out to me. Now, that's not as big of a deal now. Like, you just don't see – I mean, Burrow will show up and, you know, he's always dressed nice, but he's got chains on and stuff. Like, nobody's wearing suit and tie anymore.
Yeah.
With it. But from that aspect, like, I get it. You're the CEO. You're the most important position on the team. But at the same time, like, show the personality. I think enough has changed in the world that there's so much negativity. Like, if he's showing personality, I got no problem with it.
Yeah, and I understand the Jake Locker thing too, right? If you're losing and you're coming out to a press conference and saying, yeah, I'm going to go hunting, I'm not going to be watching film or working or whatever in season, I understand how that can be kind of a bad taste in people's mouths. But all of this social media, Like, none of it has even, like, the last time he posted one of those videos, I mean, the banana one was before he even was the quarterback at Kentucky. I mean, that was 3 years ago. The kid was 20 years old, and he was transferring from Penn State to Kentucky. So, I mean, that was so long ago. And the mayonnaise thing was right after, I think it was after the 2021 season or before the 2021 season, right? And there haven't been videos like this since then. So, like,
yeah.
For people to keep bringing it up, I just think it's very weird. And to Mason's point about your quarterback is your CEO, yeah, I get that. But he hasn't even had a chance to be the quarterback here. And people are already saying that all of this is unacceptable and it's going to be a distraction. Well, Aaron Rodgers does a lot of things on social media, on the Pat McAfee show,
does
podcasts, does a lot of things that are quote unquote distractions, but he wins football games, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was about to say, what did he do? What did he win back to back?
MVPs.
Right.
So
now look,
it doesn't
you can
matter.
Make the argument that he's won one Super Bowl.
Sure.
And that is 100%. But guess what? He has one more than you do.
Exactly. And he has done it.
Yeah. He's backed it up. And so that and I get that. Like, if you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk.
For
like,
sure.
I get it.
But he hasn't even been in the building for a month.
No, he hasn't. But I think this is a lot of this comes up and just, you know, saying what it is that if Kentucky had been as good in 22 as they were in 21, I don't think we're having this conversation.
Yeah, and now people are just saying, well, that's why when you post stuff, it stays on the internet forever. Okay, it wasn't even football season. It was before he was even viewed as a prospect in the NFL. I understand when you put things out there, but this also isn't like something terrible or bad that they did when you usually bring up, oh, well, it's on social media. It's out there forever. This was a funny joke. He was a 19. He was a 20-year-old kid. I mean, what if Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady had social media like these guys did when they were in college? I'm sure some stupid, funny video of something would have popped up, right? It's just – it's the turning now of social media is becoming so prevalent in these young athletes' lives that – you know, when things come out and we're asking for personality and they do something, they get crucified for it.
Yep.
It makes me so heated because I just think the leaps and the bounds are just jumped so far when something is really just meaningless. It's just a video.
That is 100% true. Great discussion. It won't go away. That is for sure. But we're going to give away – speaking of – good things. Let's give away a pair of tickets to see the Beach Boys at the Skirmerhorn Symphony Center on May 27th. Caller number 3-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3, please tell Nick you hope he has a great day. I encourage that all
yes.
the time. Nick, I need to know if that actually happens today. Please tell me. So they tell Nick, have a great day, and if you're caller 3, you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Beach Boys at the Skirmerhorn. Coming up next, we'll give you our best bets of the day. Got a lot of good games in the NHL and the NBA that we'll get to. We might even throw a baseball one in there. Who knows? That's all next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight. 6:20 pregame, 6:35 first pitch on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds will take on the Baby Braves, the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. I believe Mike Soroka is supposed to pitch for them tonight. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Looking forward to going tonight. Hopefully the weather holds up. I haven't mentioned this yet since I've been on, because I've only been on like once this week. But I went to Geodis Park for the first time the other night and saw Nashville SC, Hani Mukhtar with a hat trick.
Yeah.
I know they played last night. I don't know the result of that game. 2-0, they won? 2-0 against Dallas? Is that right? Cool. Thank you, Nick. beautiful place. First time being there. It was a fun crowd, and then Hani doing Hani things. So
I went there for the first time last year, and I was pretty blown away. It was around the time it had just opened. And, I mean, it's a very, very fun experience if you haven't been over there yet.
Yeah. So definitely want to go go back this summer, and we'll do that for sure. We've had a fun discussion with with this and personalities.
Yes.
And Obviously, we'll break down the schedule tomorrow. Michelle will give us a game-by-game breakdown.
Oh, yeah.
When the schedule comes out. So looking forward to that. But I know you had – did you have one more text you wanted to read on this that stood out to you?
Yes, I had one more text on here. Okay, I think this is a good one, and I think it kind of encapsulates what we've seen specifically here in social media recently. So a texter, they don't text your name, text us in so we can give you credit for this. Titans fans are probably tired of social media because of A.J. Brown, a little bit with Big Jeff this year, and also remember when Isaiah Wilson was turning into a social media influencer slash rapper, it was a big disappointment as a first-round pick, and fans are just tired of it.
Yeah,
I get that.
And I bet LaJuan, you know. Because there were people that did and look, admittedly, I was kind of like, until I understood that they taped a lot of the podcast in the off season, I was kind of like, I mean, come on, man. Like, what are you doing a podcast? But, you know, when Vrabel went on there, that changed it because it was like, oh, okay, so he's obviously cool with it. So, and I got no problem with player, you know, because it changes the landscape because he can control his own narrative. All the news related to Taylor Lewan has been announced on that bus.
Yep, it has.
And by him. And Will Compton, too. And they've made a lot of money doing it. And yeah, so I don't have a problem with
it. And he's setting up himself for, you know, it's no secret that he's going and he has legal action against his doctor who did his knee surgery. And if he doesn't play another NFL game again, he has a career after football, which is something that's, you know, hard to do. A lot of times guys retire at 30. And, you know, football is their whole life. He's been able to carve out something and do it while he is playing football and be successful at it, too.
Let's get to our best bets of the night. We'll start in hockey. Obviously, Carolina could close this series out at home as they're up 3-1 in the series. New Jersey has to win to stay alive. They are plus 110 on the money line. Carolina, the favorite at minus 130.
I think I'm going to go Canes tonight. I thought Jersey would have been able to tie it up last game, but I think that the Canes are the better team in this one. I think that Jersey spent a lot of their energy in defeating the Rangers in that series, and I think the Canes run away with this one tonight, Chase.
Okay. I like the Devils. I think the Devils stay alive in this one and force game six.
Yes, game six.
So I think they do that. The over-under is 5.5. I lean the over in this one, too.
I think
it's going to be a good back and forth.
I was watching the game the other night, and it was 1-1.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm watching Celtics 76ers, and I turn, and I was so confused. I'm like, what just happened? 5-1. They scored like four goals in 4 minutes.
Kraken at the Stars tonight. Dallas, a pretty heavy favorite, minus 200. Kraken plus 170, and as Greg Wyshynski pointed out earlier, if you're fantasy Seattle, you got to be a little concerned about goaltending.
Yeah, I agree. I do think, though, they have a bounce back night, and I think that they get the win tonight.
By the way, I meant to mention this. You can hear Devils Canes tonight on these airwaves starting at 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I like Dallas. I like Dallas tonight at home.
Dallas is your favorite team.
They are. No.
You've adopted them.
Preds fans, sorry. No. They are not. I don't want to hear that stupid goal song that, you know.
Sorry, I just meant currently right now who's still alive.
Yeah, I might be a Florida Panthers fan.
Yeah, right. You know? They're fun to root for.
All right, in the association, got the Celtics at the 76ers. Philly can close it out, right?
Philly can close it out tonight.
They're a 2.5-point home dog. Mm-hmm. And as my good friend Rick Merritt of Music City Bets likes to say, home dogs bark louder.
Mm-hmm.
Also, 212 is the total tonight. Over?
Yes. I like the over. Over 212. Love the 76ers tonight. This team looked so incredibly confident the other night in Boston. James Harden is performing at such a high level. They just look really connected between him, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey. And the Boston team that went out there the other night looked so not confident, throwing shots up there left and right. They looked frazzled, and they just didn't look like a unit. So I'm taking Philly to win at home tonight and close that one out.
Hmm. I'm going to say that we get the two best words in sports.
Game seven?
Game seven. I think Boston forces game seven.
Okay, hey, I'm not complaining. If they can go to game
no,
seven.
This has been a fun series, so give me that, and I'll take the over as well. And then another one, Denver can close it out against Phoenix. They're up 3-2 in that series. Denver, a three-point road dog, and then the total 226 in that one. I think I'm going to lean slightly under in with 226. That's pretty high.
Yeah, that is a pretty high one. I look at this matchup, and I'm worried for the Suns. Chris Paul's already been out the last couple games with the groin injury. DeAndre Ayton is listed as questionable for tonight, which is going to be a problem for Phoenix. A lot of it has been on KD and Booker to really offensively carry this team. I think they both will have a good game tonight, but I think the Nuggets are just a better team.
I think Denver ends that one tonight. Give me the 3 points and then the under 226. So there you go. That's our best bets. Superbook Sports is where we get the odds, as always. And, again, you can hear a little NHL action tonight. And we'll have the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final as well for that. But looking forward to that game tonight between Carolina and New Jersey. Tomorrow, there have been some Preds fans that have asked for this. We were able to pull it off. Admirals will play game one of the second round of the AHL playoffs against the Texas Stars, the affiliate of the Dallas Stars. You will hear that game starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to have game two on a Saturday night as well. So we will be bringing you some AHL playoff hockey.
And you'll hear some familiar names, I'm sure, out there.
Yes.
Evangelista.
Being one of those.
Igor Afanasyev.
Oh, yeah. So a lot of guys that you saw at the end of the year here with the Predators, the baby Preds. I'm sure they don't like me calling them that, but I do. The Admirals. So they will take on the Texas Stars. And Scott Nickel, the GM of the Milwaukee Admirals, is going to join us at 9:30 tomorrow. So we will talk to him and get his thoughts on things. Obviously, assistant GM up here as well. Always enjoy our conversations with Scooter. But yeah, so that is how it's going to be with that. That'll do it for us today, but don't go anywhere. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace will come up next. I'm sure they will give thoughts on the schedule. Maybe Derek will have his NFL schedule breakdown.
Yeah, get hype
about the schedule release. Look forward to some of the leaks that are coming out there. We'll be back at it at 9 o'clock tomorrow, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.